Last Sunday, we resumed our catechism class. And one of the challenges, well, I asked the batch that was baptized over in December 2016 to come back to the cat class to finish up our study of the book of Ephesians. Then after class, I told them and I said to them, you know, I want to give you a challenge. Okay? Bear witness for the Lord in church this month and next month. So a few of them felt that they were going to rise to this challenge, an occasion of bearing witness. And so the first one is going to come up today. And I'm going to let him introduce himself. And, you know, let him say like it is from his own heart. Okay, I'm going to invite Paul Chia to come. Paul, come on over.
A very good morning to one and all. It's indeed a bit intimidating sharing my faith and sharing my testimony in front of all of you. So a bit of smiles would make this process a little bit better. Thank you. So as Pastor has mentioned, my name is Paul. I'm 28 years old this year, and I'm currently working in the Singapore Armed Forces. I'm here today, as what Pastor have mentioned earlier, in response to the call to bear witness for Christ, to share on how my faith in Jesus have changed my life, and also my journey of faith. So, Pastor, like what Pastor have mentioned, he gathered a few of us after catechism class last week and asked if we are okay and if we want to take up that challenge to share our testimony. And I responded, and I didn't know I was the first. So when he told me that, in today's Bible memory verse, Isaiah 44, verse 8, spoke to me deeply as I prepared this sharing. Do not fear nor be afraid. Indeed, what great timing. So, coming to Christ, I came to Bethany through my late cousin, Yvonne Tan. She reached out to both my mom and I through her baptism, as well as through Bethany's Christmas concert in 2010. As some of you might know, it featured her life as well as her journey of faith. Despite suffering from terminal brain tumor and only with months to live, she had the absolute peace. Peace that can only be found in God. So how was that even possible? It's by having this confidence in God. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6, allow me to read this to you. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are in the body, while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present from the Lord. This confidence and faith in God that she has gave her that assurance to know that when she dies, she will be present with the Lord and she will see Jesus in heaven. This gave her the absolute peace that she was seeking for. Apart from this peace, she was also looking for this confidence, desiring this confidence. And Pastor spoke to her. Not only must she desire this confidence, she should cultivate this confidence, cultivating it in two ways. Firstly, growing in knowledge of the scriptures, of how about our faith in God. And secondly, finding a faith that is real and personal to her, that practical faith that she can apply in her life. This confidence in God changed her perspective in life. especially when she's dealing with her cancer problem and also at the same time towards death. This confidence does not mean that her cancer is going to get any easier. I remembered several times a day she would suffer seizures, several episodes of seizures throughout the day. And as she goes through chemotherapy, one of the side effects that she experienced is she will feel sick and she will often vomit due to this. This confidence was tested daily, and it became more real and precious to her. Despite all this, she continued to reach out to many others with her energizing smile. Maybe you can take a look at the photo. This was a photo of her on 24th of December 2010 as she undergoes chemotherapy. Can you imagine someone who is suffering from terminal brain cancer who can smile like that? It's only through the Lord that she can do so. Not only was her confidence and trust in God personal, she wanted to share this confidence and faith in God to others as well. Her life bore witness for Christ to many others, including me. So this photo was taken. This was the last birthday celebration photo that I have with her on my 21st birthday before I embarked on my university studies. So this photo is really indeed precious to me. So this partially spurred me on to find out about this God that she have absolute trust, absolute confidence in. And it was only after her passing in 2012 did I come to Bethany in fulfillment of a promise that I made to her. So, next, before I came to Bethany, okay, just to share a bit, the nightlife was part of my lifestyle. I was often indulging in alcohol, creating many, what I would say, meaningless memories, milestone memories with my close friends. And enjoying the process. This lifestyle went on even further while I was studying university in Australia. And I lived with the motto, study hard, party harder. And I was often full of myself, arrogant, and proud. So the photo that you see there, in case if you're wondering which person I am, I am the person on the far left. Yeah, the one on the left. Sorry, Mom. Yeah. Even though I was coming to Bethany, I still struggled with this lifestyle and I gave in at times. I would thereafter feel guilty and compelled to pray to the Lord for me to resist such temptations and also to make wiser decisions. He answered my prayer. During one of the lessons in young adults group led by Pastor Mark, he had asked us this question, "What is your purpose in life?" That struck me deeply. Is it the temporal things in life, like partying and having the time of our lives? Or is it chasing after worldly possessions that will eventually perish? Or should we focus on eternal things like following Jesus and God's words of promises such as providence, protection, peace, strength and sustenance, just to share a few, that we can cling on to and for them to guide us in our lives as we constantly face life challenges and difficulties. He continued to teach as recorded in Matthew 6, verse 24. Allow me to read this to you. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and Mammon, which I know deep down was God speaking to my heart. We can never stand on both sides of the fence, enjoying what the world has to offer and at the same time serving Him. So I made the choice, and the choice to serve God as my master. And in the process, I lost many of my friends, many of my close friends, and distant relationship with them. Even though that happened, the Lord provided. He provided me with a group, a special group of brothers and sisters in Christ, whom I now serve alongside with in the fellowship hall. So this was the photo that was taken last year during Easter 2016. Yeah. I feature both all of you. Yeah. Hi, Yvette. Many of my friends whom I know before I came to Bethany would firstly say that it is impossible for me to quit the partying lifestyle because it's part of my life. Secondly, I would be one of the last few people that you ever expect to see in church, much less sharing today of my journey of faith. Well, brethren, I bear witness to you today on the transforming power of the Lord and what He has done in my life. I am definitely far from perfect, but bit by bit, I know the Lord is changing me to do His work. The next photo, yeah. So this photo is especially precious to me. This was during my baptism last year on the 11th of December, 2016. It's when I decided to take the step of faith to be identified with Christ. My turning point in my journey of faith was in 2014, where I was exploring a career switch. This was because I couldn't come to church regularly because it involves frequent work travels during the weekends. I prayed to God for new opportunities, but repeatedly, the doors closed. The rejections were hard to accept. And this lasted for about 6 to 7 months. Through those months, I spoke to some of you on my struggles, on my frustrations through those processes. And many of you shared lessons of faith. And I'd like to thank all of you for reaching out to me in my time of need to give me that encouragement and advice that I really need at that point of time. Though the process of rejection is indeed vexing, Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6 spoke to me deeply. Allow me to read this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. This door finally opened, and I am just thankful for God's provisions in my current job. Through the whole process, He taught me to wait unto Him and also to trust Him with all my heart. The beginning of 2017 started off with many uncertainties in the world. Terrorism, changes in political leadership, and economic recession, just to name a few. Those graduating and searching for a job might face difficulties, and those of us who are working might face even greater challenges, or worse, retrenchment. But despite all this, may we continue to seek the Lord and His Word. Pastor Mark also shared with me lessons of faith during a very challenging period of time while I was working. And one of which of those lessons has a verse that is very close to my heart that I'd like to share with all of you. It's in the book of Psalm 37, verse 39 to 40. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in their time of need. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him. May we have this confidence and trust in the Lord that He will definitely be there with us as our source of strength, our pillar of support, and our deliverer in our time of need. I pray that may this bring much encouragement to your heart. Thank you.
Well, Paul, thank you. Well done. Still waiting to hear from the rest of you who said yes. So I'm just looking forward to your saying that you're going to do this. You know, we bear witness in so many, many ways, perhaps more than you think. And every witness you bear for the Lord brings a special encouragement to the heart. And I want to speak of some of you who have been really, really uplifting in more ways than one. As we began the year, there were a few people who bore witness of their faith and of their love for the Lord in the support of the Lord's work. And I think this has been something really, really, very special. There was a gift of 25,000, 25,000, and another 10, one of which was dedicated to India. And I really, really want to thank you for your understanding, your love, your faith, and your support. And that is tremendous. And added to this was a special letter that came to me during the week. And I make it a point to read through every letter envelope that comes. You don't want to take for granted that, you know, the letter is just another newsletter from somewhere. So I opened this one, and this was addressed to me. And I want to share this word with you. And this was, "Dear Pastor, enclosed is the amount from my endowment insurance policy payout." So this gift is a long coming. It's been many, many years. "I would like to give it to the Lord's work." Then the person added, "The Lord has, through your preaching and teaching and writing, touched and transformed my life. From your articles of 40 days and 40 nights," sometimes I wonder who reads these things. And sometimes I wonder if anybody really even bothers. "I was deeply impacted by how our Lord Jesus lived his life following his Father's word. He humbly obeyed and followed the Spirit of God's leading. He was indeed a life example for me to follow. I hope that my children will come to know him. Deeply appreciate your ministry and work in Bethany. With a grateful heart, unsigned." Just want to say how much I really appreciate. This gift came to $58,000. And that's special. Not because of the amounts, but because of this desire, you know, to have endowment policy. We all understand it. It takes 10 years, 20 years before it matures. And then to have it mature, and then to give it back to the Lord's work, to me, that really, really spoke to my heart. Well, thank you. You know, sometimes, beginning of the year, sometimes I wonder whether I should stop writing, you know? Sometimes I wonder whether I should just simply stop writing, because it is a challenge just to write. Right? You take for granted that just, you know, the pen just flows, the thought just comes, the text just speaks for itself. I wish. It's not. And it's a real challenge. So thank you for that word of our encouragement to all our hearts. Okay, now this morning I want to read with you the Gospel of John in chapter 1. And this is a word which I think is really, really, really challenging. And we want to learn how we can bear witness like John the Baptizer did. Okay, so John 1 is a text that it's fairly easy to read. And I'd like to make comments along the way, lessons that we can learn very, very much. Excuse me, I'm having a little bit of an allergic reaction. In the book of Luke, chapter 1, Zacharias said about John when he was born. And these words were astonishing words. And we read very, very clearly that he would, in verse 76, become a prophet of the highest. He will prepare the way of the Lord. He will give knowledge of salvation. He will give light to those who sit in darkness, to guide the feet to walk in the way of peace. That is going to be his ministry. So this is one, Luke 1, 76 to 79. Now that sounds easy. No, it's not. Because John was going to be destined to live his life in the wilderness. Now remember, he's the son of a prominent priest called Zacharias. Well respected, well honored, and everything else. If he had just simply been a priest as his father was, he would have led a very comfortable life. But his diet was locusts and wild honey. That was a far cry from the comfortable life that he would live if he had continued to just simply be a priest as his father was. Bearing witness is best seen in our life. And this is how John learned to bear witness. This was a prophecy made of him. He fulfilled it. This was not an easy task. This was not something that anybody could just, you know, snap their fingers and say, it's done. It means living in a wilderness, far from people, away from contact, no social life, certainly nowhere, no way is he going to join Paul. But it was a difficult life, to say the least. How do we bear witness? When we start bearing witness with our very life. I was just telling him, he said, Pastor, don't be shocked if I send you this photograph. Straight away, I spotted him. I wasn't surprised. I really wasn't surprised in any way. So I said, don't end there. You know, add on a photograph. And he said, and I'm going to choose this one, my baptism, to symbolize the change that would take place, that has taken place. And I'm glad that he is the first person to come up here and to share, to bear witness with his life. That's what it is all about, to bear witness. You shall be witnesses. Yes, how? With your life. Now, this is an important thing for us to understand. Now, let's turn to John 1 and verse 6. How can we learn from the example of John? I think I'd like to share this with you. John 1, 6. And we read a simple word, and there was a man sent. The word sent is where we get the word apostle. Do you know what an apostle really is? You know what he's most conscious of? It would not be his consciousness of the authority and his power. It will come from the very word apostle itself, which simply means sent. That's what an apostle is. He has been called, he has been set aside, he has been sent. There is nothing more wonderful to be able to bear witness because you know you have been sent to do this. And I think this is something that we want to bear in mind as we learn how to bear witness. The reason why we fail to bear witness consistently is because we often don't feel that we are sent to do this. And that's what Yvonne wanted to do. She said, Pastor, I would like to go and witness to all my friends when I go for my chemo treatment. I said, please go ahead, do that. She spent her last year of her life in church. She said, I want to serve the Lord. I don't know how to serve the Lord. And many, many days she was unwell. I would see her in class learning how to live for the Lord, learning the words of Scripture, and she will enter into a seizure for a few moments, and then it will pass. And she can do that several times in morning classes. And she kept going. You know, she just wanted to make, she wanted to feel that I have been sent to do this. We all need to have this feeling first, this understanding. I have been sent. Well, Pastor Mark's calculation of number of times I go to India is not far wrong. 100 over times to India. What's in my mind? One word. Sent. Not necessarily as an apostle, but sent. We all understand this. I mean, we have people from friends from China. They come to Singapore and they feel that I've been sent. I'm here to learn something. We all understand this. We've been sent to do this. Now, the challenge is to go back and practice being sent. And it is good to know that I can have the same thing. It's not hard. I have a sense here. I am sent to do this. God has given me the requisite skills to do all that I would like to do, I ought to do. And so I feel a great sense of being sent. Well, let's take a look. In verse 7 and 8, we read very, very clearly. Right? And he came for a testimony to bear witness. That's what he was going to do. What was he going to do? He's going to bear witness. This was his testimony. That's it. Pretty simple. I have been sent to bear testimony, and this is what I am going to do. And that's all there is to it. You call him a prophet, call him a special messenger of God. His focus was just simply put, I was sent to bear witness. That's it. You know, I think that that's what we need to have, and it's what we need to understand. Well, there came a time, you know, we read in John chapter 1 in verse 19, there were people who were sent to him. And they came to us, John, and he said, can we ask you some questions? Okay, 1:19, let's take a look. And this is what they said to him. So they asked him, okay, who are you? Verse 19. Okay, pretty straightforward. John, who are you? And then he went on to begin with. He says, I am not the Christ. Verse 20. So they ask him, well, are you about Elijah? Are you Elijah? You know, the famous prophet Elijah. He said, nope, I'm not. Well, are you the prophet? You know, John's answer became shorter and shorter. I'm not. No, I'm not. Just simply no. That's it. That is an interesting testimony that he gave. What is the meaning of it? You know, sometimes we all think that we must be somebody in order to bear witness. Now, John was very successful in bearing witness. Literally, hundreds and thousands of people became his followers. He was so important a name that people sent others to check him out. That's how big his name was. And I really like the way in which he looked at his life ministry. I am a nobody. There is no mistaking that humility that was his. I am not somebody important. I am not somebody significant. He doesn't even want to see himself as a prophet. Then what are you doing? And his answer was, I'm here to bear witness. That's what true humility is all about. You don't have to be a famous anybody. You don't have to be a famous person here. We've got a lot of famous people here in our midst. OK, Okay? You don't have to be a rear admiral. You don't have to be Prof. Tan Hui Chim. You don't have to be anybody. You don't have to be a minister. Just bear witness. That is the challenge of John to us all. You don't have to be anybody. I am just, you know how he called himself? And I just really struck. Then in verse 23, he simply said, I am just a voice in the wilderness. That's all I am. Can you imagine that? I am just a voice in the wilderness. You see, to bear witness effectively is to help people, point people to Christ. That's what Paul did. It's not about me. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. He changed my life. And it was not a hairstylist that changed his color. It was the Lord Jesus Christ that made that change for him. It is hard. I don't know what his motto is. Study hard, party harder. Amazing, Paul. Amazing thing. We're going to ask him later on, okay, Paul, what's your motto now? And I hope it would be, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Philippians 1:21. If you don't have a motto, try that one. That's what we can be. I mean, this is what we all want to try. You see, what we need to become effective, all you need is to be very sincere in what you are doing. You don't have to convince anybody. A witness does not need to convince. He just simply bears witness. You don't want to be convinced, it's your problem. He just needs to state it simply, sincerity, with great sincerity, that's it. That's all the Lord calls us to do. Do not fear, don't be afraid. Just tell it like it is. I've already told you, you know, from that time, I've declared it. I am God. There is nobody else beside me. There is no other rock. Can we believe this? Do we believe this? If the answer is yes, then we can bear witness. One of the challenges that I find right over here is the sincerity that he has. Besides that, there is a sense of conviction. A conviction that grew in him, that kept on growing all the time until he was able to say what he did. Was he certain? Was he consistent? Was he convicted? And the answer is so obvious. There it is. Can we do this? Can I speak of a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes. Can this faith of mine, I may not be able to defend it for, you know, to your liking. I may not be able to convince you anyway. But I'm here to tell you that I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in him. I love him. And I will serve him until the Lord calls me home. And nothing is going to change that conviction or that reality that I have. Now, we do it with our life. We practice it. And the challenge now is to ask ourselves, where can we practice? Where do we begin? And I want to say it begins right here and now. You know, when God saves us, when he gives to us salvation, we all immediately become lights to the world. We are immediately salt. Simply because we are. And all we need to do is to shine, to light the little candle and just simply let it be the candle, let it shine. That's all. You know, what is light all about? In a world of darkness, that light is precious. In a world of uncertainty, that light is going to be there, steady, it's going to be strong, and it's going to be important. And so this morning, our challenge is, how do we understand this challenge of being a witness for the Lord? Let's learn from the example of John. I'm sure his father taught him, but I'm even more sure that he became deeply convicted and certain that he was that voice in the wilderness, and he put it into practice, his faith in real life. And that's what we're going to do. And so in India this week, Yvette is going to bear witness. Ganen is going to speak before a lot of people as well. And so is Jonas. What do we expect from them? Nothing more than they just focus on bearing witness for the Lord. It's not about the brilliance of their life. It's not about how they say it. It's not even the contents of what they're going to say. That's what witnessing is all about. It's not about you. It's never about you. It's like John said, I am nothing. I'm only a voice. I only baptize with water. There is one coming after me. He's greater than me. He is mightier than me. This is what it's all about. And he pointed people to the Lord Jesus. And when Jesus came, immediately he pointed to him and said, "Behold the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world." James and John began to move away from him. Andrew moved away from him. Other disciples moved away from him and followed Jesus. In fact, some of them came back to the Lord, to John, and said, "You know, there are more followers following Jesus than you now." And John said, "He must increase, I decrease. It's not about me. It's never about me. It's simply the focus is the Lord Jesus Christ." That's what witnessing is all about. Can we do it? Yes. In many ways, in the gifts that are given, in a friendship that is offered, in the prayers that are made, in a short email from Jerry Jung, she says, "Pastor, you know, I may be sick, I may be in pain, I haven't given up my life, I haven't given up my fight, I haven't given up my faith, the Lord is close to me." And this is said from a hospital bed, and she's been there for some days now. That is bearing witness. And we can do that, can we not? We can testify of how the Lord has blessed us. We can testify of the Lord's keeping. We can testify of so many different things. Our focus is not about ourselves, just about the Lord. We can bear witness in response to what he tells us. He challenges us to do. You are my witnesses. In the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be witnesses to me. Let's bear this in mind. Let's make this coming week a week of bearing witness for the Lord. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the challenge to learn how to bear witness from the example of John the Baptizer. And Father, we pray that you teach us how to speak of the Lord Jesus, of him as our Savior, of all that he has done in our life, touching us, changing us. May we bear witness boldly, simply, sincerely, with great conviction, and ask that you would bless that witness to the hearts of all who would hear. We ask you to bless this offering now that we give. In Jesus' name, amen.